I was working in a salon in Amsterdam, and how should I explain this? I got to cut a giant.
A what? Like a physical giant, like in a movie or something?
Yeah, so she came under the door. You know, have you ever got a client that comes under the door and then came through, and I was like, oh my God, you are huge. Like, this was really, it was a giant.
This is Paul Frasca from Sustainable Salons Australia.
And she had this very deep voice, and it was very funny. And I said hello, and she was like, you know, hello. And I was like, trying to do the voice. But she came, and I said, I would like a haircut. And I said, well, great. And I remember the first thing that happened is that I said, well, come and have a seat so we could have a consultation. But she couldn't sit in the chair. Mm. So she actually had to sit on the floor. And just sitting on the floor of the salon was already at head height for me to cut. From that, I had to walk her to the basin to wash her hair. And that was another thing. She couldn't fit in the basin. So her neck was too large. Her head was too big. But what was amazing from there is for the next 4 years, she was my client, you know, and I got to get to know her so well. And she was such an amazing person, so intelligent. And I just, you know, we just had a great hairdressing life together for those 4 years.
Think of the last time you went to the hairdressers. Maybe you got a colour, maybe you got a cut. How much of your hair ended up on the floor in a big, gross blob? And when you think about it, where is that hair going? The bin. And after the bin, into landfill. Paul from Sustainable Salons says by sweeping away this hair and just chucking it out, we're missing out on the massive potential of hair as a sustainable resource. And when it comes to the way we think about hair, we're not using our heads.
Australians cut off 400,000 kilos of hair each year.
Like, how much of that goes to landfill?
All of it. You only have to go back in the history books to find out that in America, the Indians were actually using hair within the clay when they were building their homes. Now, that was acting as like an insulant. So think about putting hair in the cavity of your home. You know, it'll be like wrapping your home in a mint coat. So if we put hair inside the clay, for example, inside bricks, it will be like insulating your home. You know, you won't even have to think about it. You probably won't even have to see it, but it'll be acting like an organic insulator with inside your home. So you could even do that within clothes. You know, we've got stories now about using hair to clean up oil spills.
And you're using something or a kind of technology that you've devised is... I guess in your words, something called the hair sausage.
Yeah, boom.
A hair boom. But it kind of looks like a sausage.
It is a sausage. Yeah, it is, isn't it? I think, look, I even brought one to show you.
I can't wait.
I'm gonna get it out of my sneaky little bag.
It's kind of like, it's a stocking, right?
There it is. Today we're actually using a plumbing sock, which is actually much better to be using for this. But basically it's hair like a big sausage. This boom, which is a meter long, can soak up 4 litres of oil and can squeeze out 3 litres of that back into a drum. Where the future of this will go is when an oil spill does occur is that instead of deploying synthetic booms, which don't absorb as well and actually probably don't actually work as well, which we're finding is that we can actually get hair booms out there absorbing the oil and then reclaiming the oil back and potentially using them up to 2 to 3 times at a go. So they're not having to be just thrown away straight away, that they can actually be used again and again.
Have they yet been used?
One of the biggest displays of the hair booms being used was actually during the BP oil spill in America. Now, when that spill actually happened, a group called the Matter of Trust in America, which is kind of like our Planet Ark, let's say, said we're going to, you know, really take full force and get out there and actually deploy these hair booms and show what they can actually do. Over 1 million kilos of hair was collected for that spill. They even had the military sandbagging them, you know, as a way of trying to imagine this is though everyone was now packing hair and having the hair cut off from the salons, sent to their depot where they could then start packing the booms and getting them dispatched out to all the sites and people were using them.
This actually brings us to what it is that you're doing with Sustainable Salons at the same time by collecting hair from different salons.
So basically, we've got bins inside a salon that all the hairdressers are now separating their metals, their hair, their plastic, their paper, their razor blades, even chemical waste. And as they get separated, every 2 weeks, our fleet of drivers go out to then pick up that waste. It comes back to depot, and then each waste product has, let's say, kind of like a different story, we could say. And hair is one of those bins. So when the hair does come in, 80% of that hair is kept aside for hair booms. Another 15% is kept for local community grown groups for composting, so that's another use for hair.
What about down the drain?
Oh, look, hair, little bits of hair would end up through down the drain, but in a hair salon, it's all going on the floor and then just ending up in the bag. But yeah, that you're talking about home, washing your hair. Oh, there must be tons, yeah.
What about certain chemicals that are going down the drain and into water supply? I mentioned different kind of hair products in terms of shampoos and conditioners, but something else that you brought up was even chemicals in things like peroxide.
Oh. Look, yeah, it's really funny. The hairdressing industry is just one of those industries that's been around a long time, right? We've been around for hundreds and hundreds of years. And over the last 50 years, you could say colouring has been a big thing in the hair salon. So that's introduced this whole range of chemicals that have had to be introduced to the salon. Now, we use some of the harshest chemicals on the planet, like hydrogen peroxide. You know, not many hairdressers have probably ever realised, but they've literally got a bomb coming into their salon, you know, every day. And it needs to be used in the right way. And it does amazing things for our vanity, though. Like, you know, it gives you the highlights, it lifts hair and gives those beautiful colours. But at the same rate, yeah, once it's been applied to the hair, it's only just been washed down the drain, you know, and even the leftover colour in the bowls that hairdressers have all the time, it's just been washed down the drain. Part of our program, so any sustainable salon now has a chemical bucket. It's a 20-litre bucket, and every time they have excess colour wastage, they can put that inside the bucket. And they're also now taught, when the client's sitting down getting their hair washed, to actually start to squeeze it off. They can squeeze off around about 25% of that colour and just put it in the bucket. Those buckets are then collected fortnightly, and we work with a chemical recycler who actually just turns it all back into water. Now, see, what the funny thing is colour, and I keep reminding hairdressers, like your peroxide bottle is 98% water. What these guys are doing at the chemical recyclers is not rocket science. They're just using solvents to extract the chemicals and basically separate the chemical side of it and then collect the water, and they actually resell it back into the government programs.
I find it funny because when it's on our head, or when it's on our body, it's so commonly related to beauty. But once it's off, it's disgusting and you want to get rid of it.
So true, right? Like you touch some, you know, your partner's hair, you put your fingers through the hair, it's amazing. Yet if you see it just a second later, like onside that same hair that you're touching, which feels so amazing next to you, you just feel it's so gross. Like if it's near your food, you're going to puke. If it's on their shoulder, you're like, oh, get it off. You know, it's got all these weird things. It's just one of those bizarre things. Which I want to start to break that, you know, because then we can start to enjoy it rather than hate it.